fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and here again today with Sister Sarah Burdick. Sister Sarah is a member of the Servants of God's Love, a religious order here in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And she's a teacher at the local Catholic high school. Father Gabriel Richard has been there for a good number of years and has done an amazing job. And ended up teaching all my kids. I asked Sister Sarah to join us today. So welcome back. Sister.
Thank you. It's great to be with you, Peter.
Yeah. Well, we ended yesterday talking about the story from Matthew chapter 8, where the apostles are in the boat with Jesus on the Sea of Galilee. A great storm comes up. They panic. Jesus' question to them is, where's your faith? Like, where's your trust? Where's your faith? Right? So one of the things we didn't say at the end of that that caught my attention, first he rebuked the apostles, as you said.
Right, as they're going up and down and soaking wet, right?
And then he rose and rebuked the wind, and the wind was calm. So you see the authority of Jesus Christ and his lordship is manifested in that way. But that says they marvel at what sort of man this is. Who is this guy who literally speaks to nature, speaks to the storm, and the storm listens to him? And then it says, even the winds and the sea obey him, is a question. And it dawned on me when I read that, but men don't obey him, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the sea and the storm doesn't have free will. It's not something that has, we have free will. We're made in the image of God. We've been invited to freely respond to him and to love him. And that means he risks people walking away
from
him.
That's right. That's what I was going to say. What a great risk to give us that free will. Right?
Yeah. And that's what he does. You see how foolish it is. Not obey him based on who he is, right? It's the most foolish thing we can do. So in light of that, we were talking as well about chapter 7 of Matthew. Just prior to that, Jesus talks about wisdom, foolishness and wisdom. You want to read that? Let's just share a bit of what you think about it.
This is Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 24. Everyone then who hears these words and does them will be like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it.
So Jesus gives us a picture of the wise man, the foolish man, the contrast between the two. And the house represents the person, our whole life, all the decisions we make. And say, what is your house built on? What is the life, your life actually built on? Is it built on rock? Is it built on sand? Because guess what? You are going to go through storms in this life.
Absolutely.
And you are going to be challenged because there's a battle on in this world between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the enemy. God has a perfect plan for your life. He wants you to stand on that rock and let him lead you to the life that he wants. Jesus Christ is the rock. His church is the rock, that he wants us to be in his church and be in his people. Or are we building it on sand without the wisdom of God? Because if so, we're going to get washed away. The enemy's going to be able to deceive us, fool us, do whatever in order to knock us off the ultimate course that God has set us on. Real simply, the wise man, who's the wise man? The wise man is the one who hears Jesus' words and does them. Who's the unwise, the foolish man? The one who hears Jesus' words, but does not do them. So Jesus is making a conscience to say, you're a fool if you don't actually listen to what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
And to put it into practice, to do it, not just think it, not just feel it, but do my will.
Yeah.
And it's going to lead you to life. It's going to keep you safe and safely through the storm.
Peter, I'm thinking about something that St. Augustine said. And, you know, he talks about this passage. And he says, the person who neither hears nor acts is not building at all. That's also dangerous.
Yeah.
If you don't hear and you don't act, it's just as bad as building on sand because you too will be swept away.
Yeah.
So what about people that say, I'd like to address this, Peter, people that say, you know, it's just too hard, it's too dark, I'm just going to just kind of live in my house, I'm not going anywhere, I'm just afraid, I don't want to do anything at all, I'm not going to do anything. How would you encourage
people? Well, how many times did Jesus say, be not afraid?
A lot.
You know, between 300 and 400 times in the Bible, in the New Testament. He said,
Yeah.
Or that word is in the whole Bible itself.
Right.
That phrase is in the whole Bible. So, and Jesus builds on that. Jesus is never impressed. He's not happy when we fail to live by faith. Faith is the doorway to courage because we trust him. We can face anything because my faith, I see the Lord.
Yeah.
And I know that he's with me and that he's telling me, as he did through the lives of the apostles, who all became martyrs, most of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the saints and all the martyrs throughout Christian history, to say, Jesus, just like you went to Calvary and faced that fearful prospect of crucifixion, trusting the Father, right? You're calling me to trust you and to trust the Father in whatever comes my way. Now, fear is a normal thing, but if the fear we have is going to lead us to withdraw and to just be anxious about our own security, and it can paralyze us.
Absolutely.
Right? That's a slavish fear.
It is, yeah.
And Scripture says, Galatians tells, he's delivered us through the Holy Spirit from that slavish fear. I've not given you a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. The devil wants to enslave the human race, Hebrews tells us, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. He wants to enslave the human race. What's his strategy? Through the fear of death.
Yeah.
To be crippled by the fear of my own diminishment, loss of life, I'm anxious. Well, the apostles had that fear that night on Holy Thursday, right? And Good Friday.
Absolutely.
But when they received the Spirit of God and they knew Jesus was risen, they had nothing to fear. Mm. And we know that too. So he wants to give us the power. So if you're in that place, you're paralyzed, you're kind of withdrawn, you're filled with anxious fear, turn your heart to the Lord. Give it to him. Say, Lord, actually, I repent for giving into this fear. You don't have to repent for the emotion that you feel. But if you let that emotion control you and lead you away from God's purpose and plan, the way of love, the way of faith, hope, and love, then we need to repent of that and say, Lord, forgive me, right? And give me the grace of the Holy Spirit to live in courage and confidence in you. How's that?
Amen. That was pretty good.
No,
it was really good. And it's truth. And now you made me think of another passage which fits with this. But Paul speaks in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. He says, so we do not lose heart. Why do we not lose heart? Even though our outer nature is wasting away, when you talked about diminishment and all that, right? Our outer nature is wasting away. Our inner nature is being renewed every day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Did you hear that?
No,
it's that hope of heaven again.
Wonderful.
Right? It's that hope of heaven. Because we look not to the things that are seen. So don't get all caught up. Don't worry about the winds that are raging and the waves that are coming over. Look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. You know, and he goes on to say, Peter, in chapter 5, he says, look, while we are in this body, in this tent, we sigh with anxiety, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that, listen to this, what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. That's the reality of what's happening. I'll never forget, I had a friend, he died a number of years ago. He was dying of esophageal cancer, and he looked like Jesus on the cross. I mean, he was so emaciated, and I looked at him, and I said, oh my gosh. I said, Jeff, you know what I'm seeing in you, but yet there was a glow about him. He had the hope of heaven, and I said, Jeff, what I'm seeing in you is what is mortal is being swallowed up by life. It's not that your life is being swallowed up by death. It's the absolute reverse that's going on.
Yeah.
See, this is, again, the paradox of the many paradoxes of the Christian life. And so I want to circle back to, you know, have that eternal perspective. You might have a family member who's dying of cancer, or, you know, there's some sort of loss. But remember, we're not staying here. We're just passing through.
Yeah.
We're pilgrims.
And faith, hope, and love, the three great theological virtues, have tremendous power. We've been given these in baptism and confirmation, infused graces, virtues, right? The theological virtues in hope, which you keep talking about, is that confident expectation of the fulfillment of my life.
Yeah.
At no matter what the circumstance, faith allows me to see Christ. Yeah. Faith allows me to trust the Father. I know where I've come from. I know why he has me here, and I know I'm going home to him.
Yeah.
So I have a real conviction and confidence about that.
Amen.
And he has my life in his hands, and I don't have to cling to this earth like this is all there is.
Right.
the reason that happens more and more, as we talked about a couple of days ago, is that as the country becomes more secularized, the dominant culture becomes more secularized, it closes off the heavens and says, this is all there is. This is all there is and all that matters. And more the voices are, there's no meaning in life. There's no purpose in life. Mm-hmm. You got to get what you got when you're here and all the rest. And what that does is it creates anxiety and fear throughout the culture. And that's why people then become addicted to things, why violence grows, because people are afraid. They want to carry more guns. They want to protect, or they're full of anger and rage. And everybody forgets eternal life and the final judgment and eternal life that's being offered to us. The glory that you read so beautifully there. I was just, as you read it, I came across this passage from Romans, Paul's letter to the Romans. The sufferings of the present are nothing compared to the glory to be revealed in us. Here's a guy who had that whole list. He was shipwrecked. He was
stoned,
whipped many times. Yes. He was beaten. He was almost left for dead. All these things. So he's saying, look, I know what suffering means. I know what it means to be without, to be rejected, to be despised, to be beaten, to be betrayed. I know all that. But these sufferings are nothing compared to the glory that is going to be revealed, right? And the whole world waits for eager longing. He said the whole of creation right now, and even us, we're subject to futility. You know, what is that futility? To live as if God doesn't exist. To with all our human efforts and striving, trying to save ourselves apart from God. Can't be done. Absolutely futile. We think our money can do it. Our smarts can do it. Our technology can do it. It can't be done.
No.
So we're subject to that futility. And the children of God who've come alive in the Spirit of God, who are born anew, they're a new creation in the Spirit. It's Paul goes on to say here in Romans, he said, because the world itself will be freed from the slavery to corruption that it's in and share in the glorious freedom of the children of God. We are set free by the Spirit of God from these slaveries. He called them slavery to corruption or bondage to decay. These are the powers that are at work. And when the heavens are opened, when we see Christ like St. Stephen did when he got martyred at the right hand of the Father in glory, we see that reality is not just here, but we're made for the great fulfillment of life in Christ in heaven forever. That gives us wisdom in this world. That gives us courage, right? And it renews us.
Amen. St. John Paul II said, a crisis in the civilization of the West is a tendency to forget God or to act as if he doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So friends, don't forget God. Don't forget him today.
Yeah.
Give God permission. Surrender to him. Give him everything.
That's great. That's right on. I mean, the great utopian temptation of our time is to live as if God doesn't exist and to insist that we can solve all the problems that we're facing apart from any reference to God, the creator of all things. You know,
read Deuteronomy chapter 8. You know, what does God say to Moses? When you enter the promised land, do not forget, do not forget, do not forget.
Right.
Why does he keep saying, don't forget, don't forget? Because he knows they're going to forget. Let's not forget God. Let's surrender completely.
We just have a few seconds, Sister Sarah. Would you just lead us out with a prayer for our friends who are listening?
I sure will. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are always, always in control, that you always care for us, that you're in our boat. We never need to be afraid. We know you say in your word, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will never abandon you. We thank you. We bless you. We praise you. Thank you so much for all that you've given to us and increase in our hearts the hope of heaven.
Amen. Thank you for being with us this week. It's been great. Friends, have a wonderful, blessed weekend. God bless you.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in the year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Use Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.